to the kingdom. Please be blessed as you listen.
This message right here, I'm excited. It will change your life. I want everybody to stand up for the reading of the word this morning, please. This message is going to change your life. I want you to go over to Numbers chapter 33. We told y'all a series of messages ago. There are specific messages that we would preach. And we showed it to you in Luke chapter 4. And you don't have to turn there. But that if you come and you stay at this church, you will hear a certain kind of message over and over, and it comes out of the scripture. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. You're going to hear the gospel, the plain gospel preached, prosperity. Proclaim to the captives that they will be released. There will be a message of deliverance. Amen. That the blind will see, that we will open the eyes. Open your eyes to things that you might not have seen. There'll be a message of revelation. Somebody say amen. Amen. And that we would preach the acceptable year of the Lord, or the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can categorize all of our messages into one of those categories. Amen. So today is the message of deliverance. Everybody say deliverance. Deliverance. Everybody say deliverance. Deliverance. Now I need y'all to talk back to me today. Everybody say deliverance. Deliverance. All right. Hallelujah. So we're gonna preach this today. I feel a little preachy, Brother Israel. Those of you who are ministers in training, make sure you take good notes, because this is classic sermon style for me. All right? So let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, right now for this morning. We thank you for the word that is going forth. We thank you for the praise and worship that has already gone forth. We thank you for the remnant that you told us would be coming, and Lord, they're here. Father, we thank you, Lord, right now, that every ear that hears my voice will be affected this morning. And Father, we pray that it's a positive effect. That Father, that we will hear the word, digest it, take it in, and apply it to our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
All right. Numbers chapter 33. Verse 52, you can turn me down a little bit, through 53, and then 55 through 56. It says, then ye shall drive out. Everybody say, drive out.
Drive out.
Come on, I need y'all helping me. Somebody say, drive out.
Drive out.
Then ye shall drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures. Destroy all their pictures. I know some women, boy, when they break up, when they destroy the pictures. You ever been to somebody's house, you see little faces cut out of the pictures. It's so funny. Like, you took all that time to cut the little faces out of 100 pictures. Just throw the pictures away. Somebody say amen. That's crazy. That's bitterness, right? So then you should drive out all the land before you and destroy all their pictures. Destroy all their molten images. Pluck down their high places, and ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land that dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess it. I gave it to you, God says. Look at verse 55. But if you will not drive out, everybody say drive out. The inhabitants of the land before you, then it shall come to pass that those that you let remain, of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. The title of this message is Drive It Out. Everybody say, drive it out.
Drive
it out. Everybody say, drive it out.
Drive it out.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, and I hope y'all help me say amen and stay with this message, because it is power-packed with truth. Now, as I look forward to this day, which I knew was going to be Father's Day, you know, you always typically think about, well, I'm going to preach a Father's Day message. When it's Mother's Day, I'm going to preach a Mother's Day message. When it's Christmas, I'm going to preach a Christmas message. So the easiest way to get a message from God, what he wants you to preach about, for those of y'all who's in the ministry class, is just to ask him, God, what do you want me to preach? So I do that often. I go to God and he'll give me a scripture. He'll give me what he wants. And he gave me this message today. So I was studying about 2 hours before I realized, hey, this is not necessarily a Father's Day message. And it's not. It's not. We can't make it apply. So I guess at some point we can hook a Father's Day point in there. Somebody say amen. All right. I guess all messages are Father's Day messages because we get them from our heavenly what? Father. Right. All right. The whole Bible is about the heavenly Father's love for his children. All right. And it's good that we have a heavenly Father, not a heavenly mother. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Amen. Because mothers change a little bit. Mothers can change and stuff, you know. And sometimes when your mama tell you, you know, if you do this again, don't do it one more time. Just do it one more time. You know, y'all know mothers do that. Just do it one more time. And then you do it one more time. And then don't do it again. Don't do it one more time. And then you do it one more time. And then finally the kid kind of figures it out. You know, well, ain't nothing going to happen when I do it because mama, you know, she kind of, or, you know, and then sometimes mothers will put a child on punishment and you're going to be in your room for 3 days. And the kid knows that after the day, if they walk around sad, mama just going to get tired and say, go outside. Well, daddy is a little different. Somebody say amen to that. Daddy means what he says. A good daddy means what he says, and he says what he means. And he doesn't. If he said it, if he gave his word on it, then that's what's going to happen. Amen. You can kind of go to the bank with it. And so we have a father that is not emotional. Right. We have a father that is very practical and principled. And when he says what he says, you can't change it. Did y'all know God is not moved by tears? He's not moved by pain. You know, we got a lot of gospel songs about your tears. Yo, he sees your tears. He bottles up every tear and all that stuff. God ain't bottling up tears. Because he's not moved by emotions. The only thing that moves God and pleases God is what? And faith. Because faith is obedience in action. Obedience is faith in action. Right? That's what moves God is your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so many people have tried to make, I guess this is my Father's Day point here. Many people have tried to make our Heavenly Father into a Heavenly Mother. But God is not a man, neither a mother, that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, good or bad, he's going to do it. Somebody say amen. Amen. As much as God is going to hate, because he is love, as much as he's going to hate to allow people that have chosen to reject Christ to go to hell, he's going to allow them to go there. If they end this life without accepting Christ, because he put his word on it. And so God, the good and the bad, he's our father, and he stands by his word. This message, Drive It Out, is a message of deliverance. And as I prepared this message, I started thinking about, and I know y'all said, how does this relate? The anti-bullying campaign that we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years in our schools. And I thought it was interesting that the social engineers of our time have championed this anti-bullying agenda. The thing that's been most interesting is the fact that bullying has always been around. How many of y'all was in school? It's always bullies. We didn't have no anti-bullying policy and bullying stuff. I mean, it's just follow the rules. Amen. We didn't have to have nothing extra for bullying, because if you were bullying, you was probably not following the basic rules, which is keep your hands and feet and other objects to yourself, and you won't get in trouble. Follow what the teacher's saying at all times. And then back then, we had the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So we didn't need anti-bullying. And so as I looked at this whole anti-bullying and this whole bullying agenda, found out and remembered that bullying, recognized that bullying has always been around. And there's only one remedy for bullying, and that is courage. That you stand up to the person who's trying to bully you. Now, I'm not belittling or discounting those situations that we've heard them in the news, and because those pushing those agendas have made sure we found out about all those people who committed suicide because someone said something to them over the internet, or they were cyber bullied on Facebook, and so they ended their life, or they plummeted into some great depression, okay? I believe that these situations are valid and real. But I believe that much of it stems from an overreaching problem of the decline of the family morals and values that has been passed on to our children. You understand what I'm saying? So all I'm saying is that when you outlaw prayer in public schools, when you weaken the influence of the parents, when you push legalized drugs and at the same time criminalize the church for speaking out against destructive lifestyles, when you reward laziness and living on the system and punish those that are entrepreneurial and self-reliant, and when you feminize our boys and make our girls masculine, you're going to have some very emotionally dysfunctional people all the way around. And the bully is going to be able to exert more power and influence on that person than they would have if that person had grown up in functionality and normality, if you know what I'm saying. Amen. So hear what I'm saying, hear what I'm not saying. But with all that said, I grew up when old school was still intact a little bit. It was still in effect. Yes, it was on a decline, but it was still in effect, and a lot of those elements were still in place. Parents handled things a little differently in my day. When you came home talking about the teacher didn't like you, your parent didn't go up to the school and call a meeting with the principal. When you came home and said, "Mama, I don't think that teacher liked me," your mama told you, "You ain't there for them to like you. You there to get an education." Anybody have parents like mine? I don't know. When you came home and said, "Mama, the coach cussed me out and made me run another lap, and I want to quit the team," your parents didn't call me with the superintendent, all that stuff. Your mama said, or your daddy said, "Well, you shouldn't have signed up, and since you signed up, you're not gonna quit, so get back out there." That's how I grew up. All right. So the overall philosophy of parenting in my day was that you raise your children to be strong, to be able to handle adversity, to be able to persevere. Parents look to the future and look to all the problems that they were facing and dealing with, and understood that if they did not allow their children to somehow figure out how to solve problems on their own and how to overcome small adversities when they grew up, they would not be able to deal or handle anything, that they would crack under pressure. So parents knew that we got to raise our children to be strong. If you believe that, somebody say yes. But now it seems that the parenting style has changed. Parenting style is to hover. To be there for every fall. Somehow now you need to be turning to CPS for neglect every time your child scrapes their knee. Our emergency rooms are overfilled with overly hypersensitive and attentive parents who want a surgical procedure done on their child, and it's CAT scan every time they bump their head or they have a bruise. Y'all know what I'm saying? Somebody say amen. Some of y'all are that parent. They see y'all coming. Oh, there they go again. Okay, how you doing? It's here come the Johnsons again. And we're basically raising our children to be wimpy. Now we've ended up producing a generation of people that need Abilify to get through a day because they cracked the screen on their iPhone. It's quiet. We have a group of people that can't manage their feelings and become suicidal because for 2 hours they were bored and nothing new was trending on Instagram and none of their friends called them and somebody unfriended them. All I'm saying is when I was raised to be strong. And then there was Boo Boo, the neighborhood bully. I stayed at a lot of places when I was growing up. This is just a real story. And I stayed at Mama Long's house on the weekend because a lot of time my mom worked or she was doing other things. And she would let me go to church with Mama Long on the weekend. So when I went to Mama Long's house, there was this neighborhood bully named Boo Boo. And Boo Boo, he's like one of them little boys, you know, that looked like he had served 20 hard years in prison, but he was only 12. Looked like he'd been lifting weights for 15 years. Yeah, brothers, y'all know, y'all remember them boys you grew up? I mean, they had biceps, abs. Hey, dude, you 7 years old, man. What you been doing? And he was just one of them dudes that naturally had that build. He was naturally fast. He was the best athlete. He could hit the ball the furthest, throw the ball the furthest, catch the ball. I mean, he just had it. And he kind of ran the street, and everybody was afraid of him. And so when I was a little boy, and most of y'all probably wouldn't imagine this, but I was very, I was a crybaby. I got picked on a lot, and I got beat up a lot earlier in my life. And I remember, you know, there was no dad in my life and so forth. And so when I went over to Mama Long's, Daddy Long's, my granddaddy was there. And I run in the house and I cried because Boo Boo had beat me up again. And one day, my granddaddy went out. Now, see, parents wouldn't deal with this like he did. But he didn't go out and call a meeting of the parents and call the apartment complex together and your child this and that and all that. My granddaddy said, boy, if you come back in there one more time crying because Boo Boo beat you up, then I'm going to whip you. Now, I know some of y'all. It's not logical. It's just like, you know, because we've become psychological and therapists with our children than parents. And so you think about that. You're like, wait a minute, granddad. No, wait a minute. Now he done already beat me up. Then I'm going to get a whipping? See, old school parents, they didn't have good logic. They would tell you stuff like, if you go down the street and get a whooping, because they used to whip you, if you got pops at school, when you get home, you're going to get another whooping. You're like sitting there trying to do that math. That don't make sense. What? I already got a whooping. Tell somebody that was old school. So he told me, he said, if you come back in here again crying because Boo Boo beat you up, I'm going to give you a whipping. How about he was trying to make me face my giant? Isn't this similar to this passage? Let's look at it. The Israelites were supposed to go into the land, possess it. It was already theirs. I'm going to walk this really out. I'm going to walk it out practically for you. If you are a Christian, if you've been saved, if you're a believer, if you've given your life to Christ, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah, 29:11? I know the plans I have for you. God has plans for you. Guess what his plan is not? His plan is not for you to live paycheck to paycheck. His plan is for you to have more than you need. His plan is that you walk in peace and joy. His plan is not that the police come to your house at least twice a month to break up some stuff. His plan is that your children and your marriage and your household be running in a godly manner. His plan is that all of your heart's desires be fulfilled in the kingdom. His plan is that you fulfill your purpose and your destiny, and that as you fulfill your purpose in him, he will supply all your needs and even your wants. That's his plan. But most Christians are not living in that plan. It's funny, most people want the same thing. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We all agree. Most women, I mean, you talk to women anywhere. Do you want a man that's going to get drunk and beat you up? Who's raising your hand on that? Where's that line? Nobody. Do you want a marriage that's going to end divorce in 2 years? Nobody's signing up for that. Who's signing up with, you know what? I'm going to college so I can make sure I stay on food stamps, welfare, and the system the rest of my life. You may need it for a while, but you're not trying to stay on that, right? Everybody wants life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Everybody wants the freedom to live out their dreams and what God has for them. There's a reason. And every one of us, I don't care how crazy life gets, there is something on the inside, deep down in our heart, that we know either we are doing what God told us to do or we're not doing it. Either we're doing, we're fulfilling the reason why he created us and allowed us to be born, or we're not doing it. And it, that causes problems. You know why people drink on the weekend? Because they're not at peace with themselves. You know why people do drugs? Because they're not at peace with themselves. You know why people have to get high? Because they're not at peace with themselves. You know why people seek out all these different sexual experiences and think that's going to satisfy? Because they're not at peace with themselves. So here's the thing. All of us agree with the plan God has for us. We do at some point agree that I want life. I want liberty. I want pursuit of happiness. Liberty means I want to be free. I don't want to be bound by anything. I don't want to be bound by anyone. I want to be free to do what God designed me to be. So the first point is God has a place for you. The promised land, whatever you think that is. Oh, I just wish I had $1 million and whatever, just be able, whatever you think that promised land is for you, he has it for you. Under a prerequisite, he says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and I'll add all this stuff to you. Now, we've been seeking all this other stuff, and here's my question, Dr. Phil, how's that been working for you? Have you gotten there yet? Have you gotten to your dream? Are you living that fulfilled life that God planned for you to live? Well, if you're not, then let me give you a couple solutions, maybe to help you out. First of all, you got to recognize that God has that for you. It's already paid for. It's already laid out. You don't have to do anything to get in it. Me and my wife, now she'll tell you, there was a time when we were living outside of that stuff. We were living on the edge of it as a Christian. You can be a good Christian and living on the outside of that stuff. You can go to church, read your Bible, pay your tithes, give, pray, fast when the church is praying, all that stuff, and still live outside of that flow. You ever had a cell phone, and then you're over here, they can't hear you, and over here, they can hear you real well? Huh? Did you have to go 2 miles to be heard? No, it was a matter of just a little adjustment. And some of us, we just have to make a little adjustment to get into that flow, to get into that promised land, to get into that place where God wants us. Somebody was talking to me recently about flying internationally, and they were saying that at one moment when they were flying, I think they were going to the UK. They said at one moment, when you're flying, you know, it's all dark, and at one, I mean, 1 second later, you fly into bright sunlight. You go from night to morning, just like that. And y'all, I'm telling you today, this message, this word that I'm preaching today, I'm telling you, if you will grab hold to this, those of you that are here, you're not here by accident. God sent you here this morning for this message, not some Father's Day message, because most of y'all in there ain't fathers. He sent you here today for this message. So first of all, God tells them, I've already laid it out for you. Your father's a good father. You ever been with a good host? It's already paid for. It's already laid out. All you got to do is walk into it. All you got to do is, when you go there, when you go to the hotel's already paid for. Just tell them, check in, give them your name. You know, when we go, churches sometimes bring us, and sometimes they treat us, the last church we went to, they treat us real nice. Had a guy pick us up, drive us to the place. We got to the hotel. We didn't have to haggle with nobody at the hotel counter. Hotel room's already paid for. All right, here are your two keys, Mr. Long. Blah, blah, blah. We already got your voucher for breakfast. Free on us, continental breakfast, blah, blah, blah. And we already took care of you. Okay? But there was still some stuff we had to do. Even though it's easy, we still had to do stuff. Okay? We had to check in. We had to show up. If we don't show up and the hotel is already paid for, Sister Bueller, then what good did it do us? We did not benefit from the hotel that was paid for. We didn't benefit from the breakfast that they had already paid for. We didn't benefit from the $200 they gave us to spend at the restaurants and surrounding areas, because we didn't show up. And a lot of times Christians are living a life underneath the privileges of what God has for us because we never show up. Somebody say amen to that. So he said, then you should drive out the inhabitants of the land before you. Destroy all their pictures. Destroy them. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein. He said, I got it for you. All you got to do is show up and check in. When you show up, they're going to be so scared, they're going to leave. Now, he goes on to tell them that some will not leave. But he says, if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those that you let remain shall be pricks in your eyes, thorns in your side, shall vex you in the land. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do to you as I thought to do to them. So first of all, he says, if you don't handle these enemies that are going to try to bully you and keep you from having the blessing of God that I got for you, he said, if you won't handle them, like Daddy Long said, I'm going to whip you. So then you're going to be dealing with them and me. So the better thing was me, what, just go ahead and whip Boo Boo and keep from getting a whipping from Daddy Long. See, what God is saying, Teresa, is any way it go, you're going to be in a fight. Any way it go, you're going to have some hard stuff to deal with. So you might as well go ahead and deal with the hard stuff on the front end. Somebody say amen. Amen. So listen to this. Here's my first point. God says if you don't handle your enemy early, if you don't handle them right now, those enemies will become a hindrance to your vision in the future, pricks in your eyes, and a constant source of pain that you'll always regret in your side. How many single young girls can say that? Your mama told you, your grandma told you, everybody told you, the birds told you, leave that dude alone. End up making a baby with the dude. Now you stuck with the dude at least for 18 years. Constantly dealing with their craziness. But if you had dealt with the issue on the front end, my God, listen to this. This passage, this is what one commentary said, this passage seems to be a good representation of carnality. This is where I'm going. Of the demonic spirits that would try to destroy your life. Now, when you come to Christ, you got to understand this. You serve a good God, but you're fighting a very bad devil. If there's a God, there's a devil. There are angels, there are demons. Right? If there's good, there's evil. All right. Most people are very unaware of the evil that's against them. Most people are very unaware of the demonic spirits that want to take you out. They see themselves as unimportant. They see themselves as, well, what would the devil want to do to me? I'm just an ordinary person who sit up and watch Real Housewives of Atlanta and Dancing with the Stars. And I just, you know, I'm just regular. I'm not doing nothing. I ain't doing nothing to him. He wants to destroy you. Because that's what he does. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. You're not making the devil happy unless you're allowing him to steal from you in an area of your life, to kill in one area of your life, or to destroy you in an area of your life. He won't be happy until you are utterly destroyed. He won't be happy until he deceives you so far that you end up in hell with him. That's when he's going to be happy. And if the devil had had his way with you already, he would have killed you by now. You would have blew your brains out by now. You'd have had a nervous breakdown by now. Cancer would have taken you out by now. But it's been God's grace and mercy. Somebody ought to give God a praise that the devil hasn't had his way with you. Some of y'all is because somebody else has been praying for you. You ain't know people was praying for you. Some of y'all names in here right now is on our prayer list. We pray every Tuesday morning at 5:30, and you ain't know your name on there, and folks have been praying for you. But the devil wants to take you out. So listen to this. Just like our carnality, but because if we fail to drive it out, if we fail to do so, we are finally taken captive by the very demons that we have become friends with. The very evil that we're friendly with becomes our captor. Some teach that the making of their league with the Gibeonites in this passage, constantly fighting with the inhabitants of the land, is typical of our continual warfare with the weakness of the flesh. But this gives the old man too much rope. Clean souls do not marry and intermarry with the traits of carnality. Clean souls do not make leagues with deceptive dispositions. Clean souls do not have warrings going on inside. Why is there so much turmoil going on the inside of you? Because there are some things that need to be cleaned out. Or as we're preaching in this message, there are some things that need to be driven out. There was a man sitting in the temple. He had been sitting in the temple. We don't know how long he's been there. It's in Mark chapter 1. Jesus shows up and begins to preach a very powerful word. And right in the middle of that message, a man begins to yell out and disturb the service. He began to talk while the preaching was going on. And he said, "Leave us alone." My first question is, whoa, I'm kind of nervous because I'm looking at one person. You're talking about us. Especially as sometimes we deal with kids, you know, who are kind of out there sometimes. And they be sitting there talking as if they talking in a group. No, we're not going to kill them. No, we're not going to stab them. We know we're dealing with some demons. Did you take your medicine today, brother? It's my next question. All right. Now, this says that if we don't deal with and confront the thing that's the enemy to our prosperity, to our peace, that ultimately we're going to befriend it. We make it an ally. I can live with it. Think of somebody, I mean, this is a very extreme situation, but we can see it. Think of somebody in the hospital with emphysema, but have made such a friend of cigarettes. Under the oxygen, with the oxygen, they still trying to get a smoke. The very thing that they refused to stop doing when the doctors told them 10 years ago, you need to stop smoking because your lungs don't look good. The very thing that they refused to deal with back then has cost them everything, has cost them all their money, their health insurance, has cost them all of their health, has cost them all their peace. And still, at the last moments of their life, the thing they want most is another, can somebody give me a pat? You can become so in bondage to your enemies that you don't do what you need to win over them. So God says, number one, there's some enemies that you're going to have to face. There's some that won't move because you belong to God. You're going to have to face them. And number two, you're going to have to drive them out. I end this with this. Here's my question to you today. What is it in your life that the devil's been doing? What is it in your life that the devil has tried to do and continue to do that you have refused to deal with? What is it in your life that you refuse to drive out? What is it in your life that you refuse, it's going to be too hard if I deal with it? Here's the thing. If it's too hard now, it's going to be 10 times harder later. Those of us who deal with weight, everybody dealing with something, everybody got a cross to bear, amen? So don't get all high and mighty because weight ain't your thing, weight is my thing, amen? But people with weight can make all kinds of excuses. You know what? I ain't got no time to go to the gym. I ain't got no time to get on the treadmill. Mm-hmm. But you got time to go get a number six at Popeye's. And when you stressed out in the bed because your arteries all clogged up from all that grease you've been eating, you're going to have a whole lot of time then. Well, I ain't got no money to go to the gym. Well, wait till you get that bill from the hospital the first day you stay in ICU. You have the money then. See, if we don't deal with it on the front end, we're going to deal with it on the back end. Somebody say amen. Amen. So God says there are some things that you cannot talk out. There are some things you can't even pray out. There are some things he won't even do for you. There are some things that you're going to have to drive out yourself. And if you're not willing to drive it out, you're going to have to be content with dealing with it the rest of your life. And old preachers used to say all the time, you better deal with them children while they little monkeys, because if you don't, they'll grow up and be out of control gorillas. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Bible says that the rod of correction will drive out foolishness from the heart of the child. That if you discipline your child now, you're loving them for later. Somebody say amen. There are things that are going on in your life right now that the devil is bringing against you, and he's bringing it against you to destroy you, to steal from you, to kill your dreams, to kill your future. But the Bible says that you've got to be willing to drive it out. Now, sometimes we want to go and we want to be conversational with the devil. You cannot counsel a devil. You cannot try to negotiate with the devil. This is some of the problem with our president and other diplomats. They're going over trying to talk it out with these terrorists. You can't talk out nothing with a terrorist. All you can do with a terrorist is destroy them. There's nothing else you can do because they're bent on destruction. They are bent on taking you out. They are bent on taking over Israel. So no, you can't make a peace treaty with the devil. You can't make no negotiations with the devil. You can't tell the devil, oh, if you just go this far and I won't go that far, and then we just have a little happy negotiation. No, you cannot do anything but the devil with the devil, but drive him out. He wants to destroy you. These enemies that God was talking about in the promised land, and every promised land God gives you, there's some enemies. Some of y'all heard me say this before. There's a downside to everything. Everything you think you want that's going to fulfill all your dreams, there's an enemy on that level. Single women go, ooh, if I could just get married, if I could just find somebody, everything will be all right. But talk to those hundreds of married couples that we've counseled over and over. And he did what? And she did what? And what? Because even after you get married, there's an enemy that you're going to have to defeat. The enemy of selfishness. The enemy of this the way my mom and dad did it. You know, we were at a wedding yesterday. And something, you know, we do a lot of things customarily, that really aren't true. Y'all know that unity candle, you light the unity candle, and they say these are two families coming together? Well, you know, marriage is not two families coming together, not biblically. Marriage is that man leaving his mama and his daddy, and that woman leaving her father and her daddy, coming to one, creating a new family. Somebody say amen. Amen. So what does that mean? That means if this family don't agree with what y'all doing, and this family, it don't matter, because now there's a new man, there's a new head, there's a new husband, there's a new father, there's a new wife, there's a new mother. And so your mama don't like the way your wife scrambled eggs. Well, she ain't got to be at your house eating her scrambled eggs. Amen. It's a new family. Somebody say amen. Amen. At every level, you got to drive out a devil. At every level, there's a new devil. Well, if I just had money, if I just had prosperity, if I just had everything I need, if I just had a bigger house, if I just had this and that, I'd be happy. Telling Gina, you know, and we moved to a bigger house, and now we're like, boy, we don't even have time to enjoy the house because we're doing this. Who going to clean up all this house? Don't go sit in that room because we ain't cleaning that up. We going to stay over here. There's a downside to everything. I just want me a nice black BMW. Every time it rains, every time it splash, it's going to be dirty. There's a downside on a black car. You can't keep a black car clean. There's a downside to everything. Get you the Hummer of your dreams and gas go up to $5 a gallon. Now you can't even drive it because you can't. There's a downside to everything. At every level, everything you think will make you happy, you're going to have to fight and confront some things on each level because the devil's going to try to steal from you. Are y'all getting this today? So here's my question to you today. What have you failed to drive out that you need to drive out? And here's the thing. A lot of times we sit there waiting on God to do it, Ashley. Waiting on God, praying and hoping. God didn't tell him to pray and hope. God said, confront it. Deal with it. There are some things that you have to deal with. We talked about this Wednesday. Confrontation is the seed for change. You ever notice when you don't confront stuff, nothing ever changes? What you are willing to tolerate, you're going to have to put up with it. A husband that won't work, you tolerate that, you're going to have to put up with it. A wife that won't cook, you tolerate that, you're going to have to put up with it. She don't cook, she don't clean. Well, what do? I don't do that stuff. Well, what do, baby? Especially that man going to work, coming home. Well, what you doing? And then when you have kids, you know, they can use kids for excuse for a minute. Kids all day, really? Can't wash a load of clothes. Come on. What you're willing to tolerate, you're going to have to deal with. Kids coming home smelling like weed, you never confront them, you're going to deal with it. And then you're going to be getting them out of jail. Confrontation is the seed for change. People don't just change. Things don't just change. You have to confront it. You got to deal with it. And there's some, God is saying in this room today, there are There are hundreds of things that many of us in here are refusing to deal with. So many little girls and little boys have been molested and messed with. They knew granddaddy and uncle was doing that. But when they told mama, when they told grandmom, she just refused to deal with it. She didn't want to deal with it. So it didn't change. Now he's messing with the grandkids. Somebody got to confront it. You got to drive the enemy out. Stuff don't go away. Stuff don't just change. Girl, Thomas, he won't marry me. Steve, I don't agree with Steve Harvey a lot. But I agree when he says this. You haven't required him to. If you required him to marry you, he marry you or leave. Either which one, you're the better. What you mean you haven't required? Do he still get all the benefits of marriage? If you know what I mean? Well, yeah, okay. You haven't required him to. Confrontation is the seed for change. And I will not be the preacher that preached the gospel of vagueness going all over in our city right now. I guarantee you no message came out of Lakewood like this today. Started out with a joke. Everybody ended up smiling. I don't see everybody smiling here, and that's fine. Some people mad, and that's fine too. But here's what I'm going to tell you. We don't preach the gospel of vagueness because the gospel of vagueness never confronts an issue. The gospel of vagueness doesn't drive demons and devils out. The gospel of vagueness does not bring change to your life that will change you forever. I can't change you with the gospel of vagueness. We got to confront issues. Now, here's the thing. If this message makes you uncomfortable, think about it this way. I didn't know you was coming, but God gave me this message for you. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in here today and you say, you know what? I got some things I need to drive out. Some things I've been negotiating with. Some things I've been playing around with. I got some things in myself that I don't like, but I've been excusing it. When you can diagnose your own problem, how about that's time to change? Kids up telling me, in special ed, oh, Ms. Long, I'm bipolar, schizophrenic, and got ADHD. That's why I threw the chair across the room. Well, if you know all that, you know you need to be controlling it. Stop making excuses for your down, for whatever you do, whatever you don't do, all that. The Bible says, if you will drive it out, I got it for you. I got this life for you. The good life. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. If you're here today and you say, what, Pastor? You know what? I just want to pray. I want somebody to pray with me about driving it out. I know what it is. I know what it is. If that's you, let me see your hand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I see you. I see you. Anybody else? I see you. Anybody else? I see you. Anybody else? You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I need to drive it out. I know what it is. I know what's going to take me out. If I get taken out, I know what it's going to be. I know what it's going to be. I see my own funeral. I see it taking me out if I don't change. But you've been waiting on God to do it. You've been waiting on luck to do it. You've been waiting on your ship to come in to do it. You've been waiting on the wind to blow in right to do it. It's not going to do, nothing's going to do that. You've got to make a decision. That the enemies of God become your enemies. The thing that God hates become what you hate. Because he loves you. You're not what you do. He loves you. But he hates the thing that you've allowed the enemy to bring and to keep you in bondage. Anybody else says, you know what? I need some help today. Pray with me. I want to drive it out. I want to at least start. I see you. Anybody else? I see you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else say, I need some help. I need help. I just need somebody to agree with me. Touch and agree with me today. No, God didn't bring you all the way to this church today with this message for you to go home the same. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you raised your hand on any of those, if you raised your hand on any of those, would you just stand right where you are? Brother Israel, give me some. Just stand right where you are. It's okay. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be ashamed. You do not have to be ashamed. Stand right where you are. All right. I just want you to come right up to the front. We're going to pray with you right now. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, come right on. Come right on. It's okay. It's okay. Because see, folks, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you, it does not depend on anybody else. It is your relationship with Jesus Christ. It is personal. Your Father loves you. Your Father loves you. Hallelujah. 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 Deliverance. Begin to pray, Elijah. I need you to do this.
Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that the enemy's hands is broke over these people that's coming forth this morning. We thank you, Father, that you're our strong tower. You're our deliverer, God. We thank you, Father, that we can come to you, whatever's wrong with us, God, and you can heal our land. We thank you for the people that's come forth this morning, Father. Now, you know exactly what's going on in their hearts this morning. We thank you for their bold step of faith to come forth, God. So we know that you are a strong deliverer, God. We thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against these people will prosper, God. That the thought, God, that you would move in their life this morning, Father, that they would never be the same, God, because you are a strong deliverer, God, and we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that every lie that the enemy has told them is thrown in Jesus' name, and the blood of Jesus is against him. We thank you, Father, that they are sealed by your blood, God. We thank you, Father, that their blood is your blood is covering them, God, from the top of their head to the soles of their very feet, God. That everything they've wailed about at night, Father, that you're hearing their cry this morning, God, in their hearts, God. You are hearing them, God. You're delivering them and you're setting them free. Every bondage in Jesus' name is broken this morning. You are walking in victory this morning, daughters of God. God is releasing you from every lie, every captivity, every bondage. He is releasing it from you in Jesus' name. He came to set you free, women of God. He came to set you free, women of God. You are free. The Bible says who the Son sets free is absolutely free indeed. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Praise him this morning. Praise him. Thank him for delivering you this morning. Thank you for delivering.